Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've danced on the graves of the other AFC North teams. It's fun to do. It really is. You watch Baltimore suffer the worst home loss of the Harbaugh era. It's a delight. It's enjoyable to watch that smug ass get pounded like that at home by the Texans of all teams. It's fun to watch the Browns lose like they usually do. And the Bengals are wallowing in their own pity right now. But the mistake I've made, Mulsey and Donnie and everybody listening, is I've absolutely put the cart before the horse here, and I've acted like the next two games are automatically wins. And I'm starting to have some second thoughts about that, because why and when should I do that with a Mike Tomlin coach team? Like, everybody has said, I listened to the station yesterday, it's all about we're in a great place and everybody else sucks. And I don't think the second part of it is false. I think that's absolutely true. Every team in the division right now is a negative point differential. The Steelers are the only team over 500. It's a very, very weak division. So the commentary on the other teams is absolutely right. But we've all acted like the Browns and Bengals games are definite wins. And Donnie, before the show...
Wait a minute. Don't lump me in with that. I haven't acted like
that. Yes, you have. You said they were going to be 5-1 and the Ravens would be 1-5.
They have a very good chance to be 5-1. They have a good chance to be 5-1.
Okay, so now you're having some second thoughts about it sounds like, because you don't even want to defend your original point, which was they're going to be 5-1.
Well, I haven't been on the air since before the Ravens, Browns, and Bengals played.
Okay, so what? You've watched those three teams and you think one of them or two of them are now going to be tougher opponents than you thought before? The Bengals impressed you? The Browns impressed you? What is it? What's changed your mind? I know Donnie, before the show now, has a little bit more fear of the Bengals because of this Flacco trade.
I think there's a better chance after watching the weekend's games and thinking about the Mike Tomlin aspect, which, by the way, Donnie, very interesting that Mr. Results Over Process is now distrusting Mike Tomlin when he defended his game in-game coaching by saying, well, they won the game, that's all that matters. I think there's a better chance they're 3-3 than 5-1. Better chance they're 3-3 than 5-1. If you asked me to pick what is likelier, that they go to 5-1 or that they go to 3-3, I'd actually take 3-3 here.
Why?
Two reasons. I watched the Browns play the Vikings, and but for Carson Wentz's relative mobility and some big throws down the stretch, I don't think they win that game. And I thought the Browns defense had all the answers for the long majority of that game. I thought they ran the ball really well, and I thought Garrett looked very terrifying coming off the edge for most of that game.
Okay.
So I think the Browns defense is absolutely good enough to turn this into a classic one possession Mike Tomlin rock fight, even though it's a home game. They're starting a guy who's making his second career start.
Okay.
I didn't think Gabriel looked good per se, but I also didn't think he looked overwhelmed to the point where like he didn't know where to go with the football or anything. They just had a very safe game plan.
Okay.
Two, what do we know about Joe Flacco and Mike Tomlin? I think Mike Tomlin checks under his bed for Joe Flacco every night before he goes to bed. He wanted Anthony Richardson to stay healthy in a game last year so that Sheriff Joe couldn't come off the bench and cook his team, which of course is actually what happened. You give Joe Flacco, who granted is playing behind a garbage offensive line now in Cincinnati at his new port of call, you give him anything resembling actual time to throw to those two big receivers?
Yeah.
He can cook anybody. He is absolutely a good enough player still with a good enough arm to push the ball down the field and I think give any defense fits so long as, big if, he is protected.
But why would you think he's going to be protected against the Steelers front with that offensive line?
because I have seen Joe Flacco come up with answers to the test with Mike Tomlin before, and that also includes figuring out what his protections need to be. That's why.
But he doesn't have Mike Tomlin's number. He's 11-11 against him all time. It's a coin flip when he plays him.
27 touchdowns, 12 picks, and about an 85 passer rating in the 22 games. But going off of last glimpses, he dog walked the Steelers for important possessions in that Colts game last year. And I know that that can be, you know, cited as a Shane Steichen thing a little bit.
Yeah.
But he absolutely looked better than Richardson would have.
Of course he did.
They also
didn't game plan for him. I mean, that has to be a part of it. I know Tomlin should know Joe Flacco like the back of his hand, but the fact that he didn't prepare his defense really for Flacco that week, I don't think helped their cause. I don't think it's an excuse for how badly they performed as a defense overall in that game.
I just think they're going up against a very good defense this week and a quarterback who is not afraid of them or their defense the following week on a short week.
I thought I was the one that was like, hey, let's not put them in ink at 5-1. And I thought that was going to be the controversial statement. You just said there's a better chance they lose their next two games than win their next two games.
If you're asking me what is likelier
right now. I didn't ask you that. You volunteered that on your own.
If you're asking me of the two scenarios, and there's no other scenario that can be, 4-2 being the other one, obviously.
Yes.
I would say it's likelier that they stub their toe against the Browns and then get Flaccoed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But there's no evidence of them doing the former ever in Tomlin's tenure. Literally never. Donnie, how many regular season games has Mike Tomlin lost to the Browns in 18 years as head coach?
He lost to DTR a couple years ago.
Regular season home games in his career.
What is it, 1 or 0?
How many?
I can't really think of any.
0. He's 18-0. And you think this Sunday with a rookie quarterback, another trend pattern in his coaching career, he always beats rookies for the most part.
I mean, I thought Stefanski had a good game plan against a defensive coordinator in Flores to keep Gabriel from doing too many bad things. They ran the ball right at him.
But I don't understand your logic, though. Kevin Stefanski gets credit for losing a close game to the Vikings. Mike Tomlin got no credit from you for beating the Vikings and being in control of that game for 55 minutes.
Well, wait a minute.
Make that make sense.
Okay, Mike Tomlin's got a 41-year-old four-time MVP as his quarterback, and the other guy had a guy making his first ever start in the NFL.
I don't know. He's also got Myles Garrett in that defense against the backup
quarterback. But I thought Myles Garrett was overrated. Mike
he
Tomlin
is,
has
in my
TJ
opinion,
Watt.
But not in your world, he's not.
I know, but you should be applying your own standard here. They have Myles Garrett, so what? Big whoop. You could almost put him in as a replacement.
What do you mean? We don't need to
end.
Apply my standard here. I'm not the one making the bogus claim that Stefanski did a better coaching job against the Vikings than Mike Tomlin did. You're the one that has to defend that. I didn't say that.
I think it's pretty easy to defend the fact that he had a guy who had never seen an NFL defense as a starter before at
you're
quarterback.
You're starting to sound like Aditi. You're making these Browns out to be formidable bunch. Like, this is a dangerous game.
I'm not
game.
Sounding like her because I haven't said Kenny Pickett one time yet
okay,
today.
Well, that's one aspect where you guys obviously go divergent paths here. But, like, again, I understand Tomlin on Tuesdays when he sizes up the opponent, tries to make everybody look good. I'm just taken aback that you think they're in such a precarious spot
I think
that there's a better chance they're
3-3
than 5-1.
I came away at 1:00 on Sunday. I thought to myself, if the Browns defense plays like that and Judkins runs like that, then this game is going to come down to the last possession and it's going to be very close. And I'm not going to ever proclaim immense confidence.
And the Steelers have Aaron Rodgers and Chris Boswell, and they don't.
And then I thought to myself, after watching the Bengals not look great, but at least like show a little friskiness down big to a very good opponent, when they add in a quarterback that I think is ultimately better than Jake Browning and has had good success against Mike Tomlin very recently,
true,
albeit for another team,
yes,
that game on a short week on the road in front of what will be a loud crowd and a desperate team, no doubt by then, becomes a little tougher than it maybe appeared to be. What are they, 4.5-point favorites right now over Cleveland?
4.5, 5, somewhere in there.
Okay, so you usually assume 3 points for the home field bump?
Sure.
So really, Vegas sees this as a reasonably close game given where it's happening and what the actual spread is?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet the Bengals game is going to be close to a pick 'em.
No way. No way! The Packers are a 14.5-point favorite against them on Sunday.
Who do you think's better, the Packers or the Steelers?
The Packers, but not by leaps and bounds. The Packers have 2 wins. The Steelers have 3. Donnie, I didn't think we were going to start this way, but hey, everything's organic on the show. Your response to Malzi saying that these next two games are so dangerous, there's a better chance the Steelers are 3-3 than 5-1.
I'm not going to say they're not dangerous. I mean, it's just the matter of like any game in the NFL. I like their chances better to start 5-1 than 3-3. But I'm also not going to just easily put those 2 wins in the bank because we know what
team. Which is what I said.
We are talking about
here.
Yeah,
you're already collecting interest. Those 2 wins have been in the bank so long.
No, I literally started the show by saying I don't believe in putting those 2 wins in the bank, and I take back what I said about the 2 wins being in the bank.
The Browns do 2 things very well. They play defense and they run the football. That can keep them in a lot of games despite them not being a very good team. And a road game in the AFC North on a short week, Thursday night football. Remind me again of what Mike Tomlin's record is there.
0-6.
And
he's
they're playing a quarterback that, despite having a 500 record against, he is terrified of.
Well, we don't know that yet, though, for the record. We don't know that. He has not been named their starting quarterback.
You don't trade for him to sit behind
Jake Browning. I don't
think
it'll take too long.
But wait a minute, though.
You might have him.
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he starts that game. If he doesn't start against the Packers this week and it's Browning again, with no practice time, with just a day to get ready, he's going to start on a short week against the Steelers.
Brett Rippon?
Yeah.
I still don't think you bring in Flacco just to sit there as a backup.
I don't think he will for the whole season, but I think there's still a pretty good chance Jake Browning starts against the Steelers on a Thursday night.
The only way Jake Browning starts against the Steelers, in my opinion, is if he actually goes out and beats the Packers and looks
good. I disagree. I think if he starts against the Packers, he starts against the Steelers.
I automatically feel better about that game if it's Browning. I think Browning stinks. Like, everybody making the easy claim of like, well, have you watched Flacco this year, bro? Yeah, I get it.
I don't think it's going to be Flacco.
The guy's 40-plus years old. He doesn't look good anymore. But have you watched Jake Browning?
I did love the Jake, the Jamar Chase stat.
Other than garbage time against the Lions, he has not done anything.
Did you like the Chase stat where Chase, I think at one point, it was something like
had
4 catches? Yeah, all on Jake Browning's picks.
I think the Steelers will face Joe Flacco this year, for sure, unless he gets hurt in the time between them and the game here. But I would be stunned if Flacco started against them. Unless,
is this based on people you're also talking to?
No, I mean, unless they signed him and said, hey, all we're going to do is get you ready for the Steelers game, so we're going to start you on Steelers prep, like learn the playbook for the Steelers game. It's just highly unusual that somebody makes their first start with a new team on a short week. That's just not really done. I mean, I know Baker Mayfield did it once upon a time, but...
But he's not really going to be making the start on a short week. He'll have been with the team for a week and a half at that point.
All right, we can make a bet on that. I don't think he'll start against the Steelers.
Then I think that's a good thing.
So do I.
Yeah,
I'd rather
Jake Browning. I'd rather see him. I just don't really think the Bengals traded for him when they do such things so rarely in season, intra-division, to
make him the backup. I agree, but I don't think he just goes into the lineup right away. And starting a Thursday night game, short week, 9 days after a team trades for you is getting rushed in there.
They just wait for the Jets game, I guess?
They give him like a long week plus to get ready for that game. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
I mean, isn't that essentially what he has now, a full week where he might not start against the Packers?
I mean, we're really getting into Bengals minutia here. That game, really, the quarterback, that's the difference between a win or a loss for you. Flacco starts, Steelers lose. If Browning starts, Steelers win.
Flacco starts, Bengals have a much better chance, in my opinion, just based on what I know Joe Flacco's capable of. Browning starts, I've watched the guy turn the ball over, and the one thing the Steelers defense does do, I know Flacco does it too, is turn the ball over.
Right, the last time Flacco played against the Lions 2 weeks ago, that's all he did. That's how he got benched in the first place. I'm just stunned that you think there's a better chance they're going to be 3-3 than 5-1. Then you need to take back saying the Ravens are out of the division race. Because if they're 3-3, the Ravens are absolutely still in it. They'd only be two out. And they're going to get Lamar Jackson back.
I'm feeling less bullish about puffing my chest out than I did after just watching this weekend. I was not impressed by Dylan Gabriel, not like setting my hair on fire. Wow, this guy could be the next big thing. But Donnie said it best. Cleveland, it travels. It's a good thing to do on the road. They defend the run on average better than anybody.
They've never won a regular season game here against Tomlin. And you think it starts with Dylan Gabriel's first road start?
I'm just surprised that because it's never happened, you're falling victim to the fallacy of it never will happen. As if the players on every one of those Browns teams, as if every player on those Browns teams and every one of those losses is the
same. You're putting words in my mouth. I'm not saying it's never going to happen. I just think you're picking a peculiar time for it to happen for the first time. With Dylan Gabriel making his first road start.
Ultimately, what do the Steelers want to do offensively?
Probably run the ball. Yeah. Probably run it. What?
No, definitely run it. They've made it obvious.
They didn't do that in the Jets game. Did they come out and run the ball against the Jets?
It was because of necessity. They tried to.
Why wouldn't they have that be the game plan for this game then?
Oh, they will. They will try to run the ball. They're not going to go and sit there and pass it because they can't protect Aaron Rodgers against Myles Garrett coming off the edge.
Oh my God, here we go again with Garrett. My God, how have they lost any games if Myles Garrett is that good? How did Carson Wentz shove it up their ass on that final drive then? How did that happen with one shoulder?
He can actually move.
So you think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers right now?
I think at avoiding Myles Garrett, he's better than Aaron Rodgers would be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.